Last night, voters overwhelmingly chose Republican candidates, but when it came to ballot initiatives, many Democratic causes carried the day. Some voters even approved soda taxes and fracking bans. Marilyn Giewax is senior business editor for NPR. She covered these issues last night in a mad flurry of tweets. You might have seen them. And Marilyn, let's start with the minimum wage at one big, but remind us where it has been at the federal level.
Well, it got set in the depths of the recession, really. It was the summer of 2009, and the wage was set at $7.25. But remember, this goes way back. I mean, the minimum wage has been around since the 1930s. It goes back to the Great Depression. So this is something that's really embedded in our employment culture. But, you know, typically, Congress will move it up every couple of years, and it has remained frozen all this time. Now, of course, we've had a tough economy, so businesses have not wanted to see that federal wage go up. But unions certainly have, a lot of community groups. So people have been pushing on trying to get Congress to do something. The Democrats have a bill that would have raised the minimum from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour. Mm-hmm. That would be in a couple of steps, but Republicans have blocked it very consistently. So basically, the unions have decided to shift away from trying to work with Congress and just chip away with it with these state ballot initiatives. And I think we saw last night that from a union and community organizer's point of view, it's working.
Well, and tell us, what states acted, what happened?
So we've had a bunch of states already have done this, but last night it was these very conservative, typically Western states. It was Alaska, Nebraska, Arkansas, South Dakota. And it passed by huge margins. You know, mm-hmm. It was overwhelming votes in Alaska. It was like 69% in favor of it. And in each of these four states, they elected GOP senators. So it wasn't like all of a sudden there were just zillions of Democrats showing up at the polls. Right. Actually, conservatives were winning. But the public has really sided with this. And also in the state of Illinois, voters had an advisory question, they call it. It was a non-binding vote to try to push the state legislature to act there. And that was for a $10 minimum wage. It also was up in a couple of cities in California. Wisconsin had some counties. It passed everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, and look, it was just across the board.
A big win. I mean, if the second win after Republicans last night was the minimum wage, I'm looking at some other raises. Alaska would increase the minimum wage to $8.75 in 2015, $9.75 in 2016. Arkansas would increase it to $8.50 by 2017. You mentioned Illinois to $10. Yeah.
You know, by the first of the year, by January 1st, it will actually have the majority of states will have higher than the $7.25. So, and of course, population-wise, it means most Americans will be in states where you will have a higher than $7.25 minimum wage.
Yeah.
So it's really quite a sweeping, you know, push.
Right. So what's been the reaction? Unions, business groups?
Well, you know, on an otherwise very dismal morning for unions, I mean, it's a pretty tough day for them to wake up. But here they've got these landslide victories in areas that they really care about on these wage issues. So they're really pointing to that and saying this income inequality issue is a broad topic, but minimum wage is something that's very solid, concrete, and people do respond to that. But business groups, well, there's the Employment Policies Institute. That's a group that that opposes legislation to raise wages. And they point out that conservative candidates shouldn't be afraid of the minimum wage issue, that they can still win, as they did last night, even as these ballot initiatives get before the voters.
Yeah. Well, there were other issues of interest to business. Talk about the beverage industry.
Yeah, they had a big night. Pop open a Coca-Cola on that one. There were lots of issues. Out in Berkeley, it became the first city, that's in Northern California, the first city in the country to pass a soda tax. They want to try to cut down on obesity by making sugary drinks more expensive. So it did pass in Berkeley. But in San Francisco, it failed. So it's kind of a split decision for the beverage industry out there. But the beverage companies had some big victories in Colorado and Oregon. There were initiatives there to have GMO labeling. That's the genetically modified organisms. And some supporters of a labeling initiative, they wanted everything that is a packaged food, whether it's a beverage or all sorts of things, to be labeled if they have GMOs in them. And the industry said, wow, that's really scientifically not necessary. It'll drive up costs for groceries. It'll make the beverages more expensive because we'll have to specially package them for your state. Voters rejected those GMO labels. Mm. And, you know, so that's a pretty big deal for them. And there was also up in your neck of the woods there was another beverage-related issue. That was the 5-cent deposit on bottled water and sports drinks. Of course, the industry does not want to have, 5-cent deposits that may drive up the prices, discourage some people from buying them. So voters, though, really rejected that.
They did. I mean, it was a huge, a lot of money poured in by the industry here against sort of expanding how many bottles could be put into recycling. Those on the other side were saying shame because it would clean up the environment if people had to pick them up and recycle them, but it lost big, as you say. Just briefly, the marijuana industry, which we can now say there's a
legal— Say as an industry.
Right? How'd that fare?
That's kind of weird to think of it as a marijuana industry. We'll get used to that, I guess, because in both Oregon and Alaska, and as well as the District of Columbia, there were initiatives to legalize recreational use of marijuana. In Oregon and Alaska, you'll be allowed to, at least if you're over 21, purchase up to an ounce of pot from these licensed stores and pay taxes on it. In the District of Columbia, they allow 2 ounces has been legalized. So they still have to work out the details of how you can sell that. But really, these are, if you're in the pot business, these are moves that you wanted to see happening.
Yeah. And then briefly, the fracking bans, some mixed results there.
Yeah, this is one of those things that's really happening on the city and county type level. A lot of people opposed to fracking. That's a reference to the hydraulic fracturing. It's a way to force water underground and you push up oil and gas. But, there are some environmental concerns about that for sure. So in Northern California, in San Benito County, they approved a fracking ban, but right nearby in Santa Barbara County, it was defeated. So it's kind of a mix there. But, you know, this would kind of crack me up. In Denton, Texas, they banned fracking. But in Youngstown, my hometown, they rejected a ban on fracking for the fourth time.
So it's all over the place.
But
fascinating. Marilyn Giewax, NPR senior business editor, with a look at some of the questions that were on the ballot last night. We'll keep pondering them. Marilyn, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.